All right, so let's make a start. And today we're going to continue on our journey through the Satipatthana Sutta. And today we will be finishing the first Satipatthana, the section on the body, which has had tons of practices so far, and we still have another one to go. And then we'll move on to the second Satipatthana, which is mindfulness of Vedana. But before we get to Vedana, like I say, we still have a practice left to do in the body section, or actually a series of practices, because there's really a sequence of things to do here. Just a bit of a content warning before we get into it. Today's subject matter doesn't pull its punches. We're going to be talking about death and corpses and things like that, so please steel yourselves before continuing. So we have the charnel grounds practices. And as I say, there's about six of these, I think, in a sequence. And it's fairly common just to treat them all as one section, because the basic idea is that you go to a charnel ground and then you observe various things. Lee's mentioned charnel grounds already. These are basically places where just bodies are piled up and just left to decompose. And so the invitation is that one should go to a charnel ground and, yeah, do some contemplation of death. So here's what the discourse has to say. Again, as though one were to see a corpse thrown aside in a charnel ground, 1, 2, or 3 days dead, bloated, livid, and oozing matter, one compares it with this same body thus. This body too is of the same nature. It will be like that. It is not exempt from that fate. Again, as though one were to see a corpse thrown aside in a charnel ground, being devoured by crows, hawks, vultures, dogs, jackals, or various kinds of worms. And then the same, compares the same this same body with it thus. As though one were to see a corpse thrown aside in a charnel ground, as though one were to see a skeleton with flesh and blood, held together with sinews. Or a fleshless skeleton smeared with blood, held together with sinews. Or a skeleton without flesh and blood, held together with sinews. Disconnected bones scattered in all directions. Bones bleached white, the colour of shells. Bones heaped up more than a year old. Bones rotten and crumbling to dust. One compares this same body with it thus. This body too is of the same nature. It will be like that. It is not exempt from that fate. So, we have a charnel ground practice. And yeah, notice that in the time of the Buddha, this was not a contemplation. This was not a thought experiment. This was something where you would go to a charnel ground and look at some corpses and observe the process of death and decay. So impermanence has been a big theme throughout this discourse and will continue to be so. And often when we're looking at impermanence, we're focused on what's happening moment to moment, right? We're noticing the breath sensations and seeing how they change from one instant to the next. This is looking at impermanence over a longer arc. What happens at the end of our life? What happens beyond the end of our life? What becomes of this body that's so vital, so alive, so important to us now? What's going to happen to it after death? This is an interesting practice to do. India apparently still has some charnel grounds today, but yeah, places like the UK, the US, not so much. Death is very highly sanitized in modern cultures. What you can do sometimes is if you live near a park or some trees or something like that, you'll sometimes find a dead animal in nature. And so one of the things you can do if you happen to notice an animal that's died, you can actually go out over the course of a series of days, go back and revisit it, observe the process of decay and decomposition. So you can actually do this process with a real decaying animal of some sort. Another option for an in-person experience, which can really put us up face to face with the reality of death is to watch an autopsy. Now, it may be possible to do this in person, depending on where you are and how things work. I've not tried that myself, but you can also find some autopsy videos on YouTube, and they're published for educational purposes. There's nothing sort of prurient or weird about it. But you can see videos of autopsies being carried out by professionals, and you can see the process of the body coming apart. You can see how quickly it goes from a person to something else. So this can be an interesting experience. Needless to say, this is something that needs to be approached carefully. As with many of these practices, it's something where we need a certain amount of self-compassion, and if it's bringing up too much difficult material too fast, too soon, then back off and come back later. But it can be a really interesting thing to do. And as with all of these practices, as the mind gets more concentrated, the experience tends to be more profound, more poignant. And of course, as usual, there's the refrain, we are to regard the body internally, externally, and both, arising, passing, and both, establishing mindfulness to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and continuous mindfulness, and so forth. So yeah, we can look at the nature of death and decay, both as it applies to ourselves, as it applies to other people, and as a universal phenomenon. It can be, if you enjoy the contemplation type practices, it can be interesting to reflect on how much of society is designed to conceal the fact of death and decay. How much money and resources goes into industries designed to preserve us looking exactly the same way for the entire duration of our life, because impermanence doesn't exist, or at least it can be concealed. There's the bare knowledge aspect. It can be a difficult thing to face death. It can trigger lots of stories, and all kinds of stuff can come up. And if what we're interested in is that direct contemplation of death and the impermanence that comes with it, then again, it's best to do whatever we can to maintain that direct perception of what's going on, rather than being carried away into all the mental activity. And continuous mindfulness. Of course, continuous mindfulness is always a good practice, but particularly in relationship to death, it's an interesting thing to do. The recognition that, this body is going to die at some point is one of the 5 daily reflections. There are other traditions that make reflection on the daily reflection on death a core part of the practice. There are Zen teachers who've really strongly emphasized it. There was one called Suzuki Shosan, who basically his whole practice was about getting people to recognize and remember at all times that they would die, and to see what effect that would have on their sense of priorities and how to spend their energy and that kind of thing. So continuous mindfulness of death. It's not something to be undertaken lightly, but it is potentially a powerful practice.